Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. 5, 4, 3, 2.
Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Tonight in Toronto, it's the Bruins and the Toronto Maple Leafs. Game 4 of their best of 7 series. Bruins, at this point, lead the best of 7 series 2-1. Something surprising happened today from the Bruins. For people who don't know, generally speaking, when the Bruins get to the playoffs, they go into radio silence mode. They do all the media things that you have to do. Players are available after the game. Players are available after practice. But they don't do anything outside of what's really required.
Right.
You know, you can't say, hey, can I get a one-on-one with Patrice Bergeron? No, you can't. It's playoffs. So today, the Players' Tribune had a piece come out of nowhere, the title of which is Built for Boston by Brad Marchand. And it's really good. I'll tell you this. If he didn't wear a Bruins uniform, you'd hate him. I mean, you just would.
Yeah. Well, I would say so.
He says at one point in the piece, he says, I was meant to play for this city. I believe that. And I think probably people do too. But he was talking about how if he didn't do what he did, if he didn't play the way he does, you wouldn't know his name, and he wouldn't be in the National Hockey League. He says, and it goes back to when he was a kid. He's playing on a hockey team with his buddies, and his dad is coaching the team as one of the coaches. And during the game, some kid on the other team took a run at Brad's brother. And in Brad's words, he smoked him. For as much as we'd mess with one another at home, if you ever hurt my brother, it was like a red light went off inside me. I'd fight you. He said, my dad was one of our coaches. He tapped me and my buddies on the shoulder and said, next shift, I want every one of you to take a run at that kid every time he touches the puck.
How old is he at this point, does he say?
He doesn't say. He doesn't say, but he's, I think it's more like 12, 13. He says, so we went out, and every time the kid touched the puck, one of us took a run. He got so pissed off that he took a slashing penalty right at the end of his shift, and we got a power play. We ended up scoring the game-winning goal with him in the box, and I kind of had this realization like, okay, if I have a 0.01% chance, this might be one way of getting people to notice me. And it was like the epiphany that went off in his line. And he says, I know there's a lot of people who don't like it. I'll be the first to tell you it's a fine line. I've done things that have stepped over the line, and I've paid the price for it. But you know what? There's a lot of people out there in the hockey world who love to say winning is everything. It's the only thing. But do they really mean it? How far are they willing to go? Maybe it was my size or just the way I was born, but I always felt like you have to be willing to do anything. Literally anything. In order to win, even if that means being hated, even if it means carrying around some baggage. And here's the key. He says, if I played the game any other way, you absolutely would not know my name. You wouldn't care enough to hate me because I wouldn't be in the NHL. The way I played the game got me noticed by junior teams, and it got me drafted by the Boston Bruins at 5'9". I was meant to play for this city. I believe that. You read this story. If you do like him, you're going to love him even more.
And that's how the story starts. He goes, if you like me, you'll like the story. If you hate me, you'll love it. That's how he starts. And he knows that he is hated around the league, but he is loved. I mean, forget liked. He is loved in Boston. But really what it does is it absolutely confirms to me that he's not going to change. He goes from being a fourth line, like a pesky fourth line player, to one of the five best forwards in the NHL, a guy who had 85 points in 68 games this year, and he's still going to be that guy. And it can frustrate you because could he get suspended again next year? Probably. Is he going to get fined for something stupid? Probably. But that's what it is, and that's you have to accept that when you have Brad Marchand. And maybe you're hoping like a guy this skilled should change his game, but he gives you a little peek behind of this started at a very young age, and you're not going to be able to get it out of him.
So he, in the kind of style that he has, Marchand talks about the aftermath of winning the cup. He says, now, I know you've seen the pictures. In most of them, I'm shirtless.
He was shirtless in all of them that I saw,
but in my defense, I was 23 years old, and I had just won the Stanley Cup. The whole week was a blur.
I can imagine that it was.
The stories are pretty legendary. Most of them can't be shared. But the backstory to that week is that right after we won, one of my buddies told me that the Blackhawks had partied for 16 days straight when they won the cup. So me being competitive, it was my mission to top them. He goes on to say, he says, we got to day 7 or 8 when we got a phone call from someone who shall remain nameless. Every player who was still in town got the same message. All right, boys, time to go back home. It's over. Leave the city. He says,
you're done. Stop it.
He says, we didn't make it to 16 days, but I'm proud of that evacuation order. We earned it.
Oh, my God. So he's basically trying to one-up, I'm guessing, Patrick Kane. I'm sure he's just trying to party more than him, and he was probably able to pull it off. Yeah, remember him chanting black and yellow during, like, before the parade started, or was at the end of the parade? Yeah, he was out of control. But even then, like, so he was a good player on that team, but I don't think anybody really knew. Well, I shouldn't say that. Most people didn't know that he was going to turn into this player. A couple of weeks ago, we talked with Mark Savard, and that was one of the questions we asked him was, did you know that Marchand had this in him? And he said yes. Now, maybe it's revisionist history, but I'll take him at his word for it. He said it was the year, I don't think Marchand made the team, but it was early on, and he was skating with him. I think he was on a line, Savard said, with Lucic and with Marchand.
Yep.
And he even said, he's like, this guy's got something. And I think he may have started the year in Providence or whatever. But he knew then, when Marchand might have been 20 or 21, that he had the skill to become this player. And he is. He's one of the best guys. But, again, like we said this going into the Toronto series, if you're the Maple Leafs, you need to constantly be trying to goat Marchand into something. Like, nonstop. You got to be shoving him around and take that chance, because he's never going to be able to take that part of his game out of him. Like, that's going to be there forever.
He closes the story by saying, but look, if we bring the cup back to Boston, just know that I'm washed up. For real. I'm 29 now, and I have an infant daughter at home who gets up at 7 every single morning. I need my sleep. The 60 nights in a row thing, that's up to a whole new generation. So he's not even going to try to top. If you read the piece, and it's in the Players' Tribune, look, I'm surprised. My guess is, the PR department for the Bruins didn't know about it and didn't cooperate in it. This is evidently written by Brad Marchand, but it's called Built for Boston. It's got some great photographs throughout the course of the story, including him when he was a little kid wearing his Tim Hortons hockey sweater and all that stuff.
Nice.
But it's really good, and it really does give you an idea of who this guy is.
Yeah.
He said, I wasn't the best player on my peewee team. How was I going to make the National Hockey League?
Wow.
And he realized that there was a line that he had to approach, and at some points he'd go over it. But if he didn't play that way, he wouldn't be here.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. And that's why, again, you know, he has developed into being one of these elite scorers in the league, but he kind of has to always be on that edge. And part of it is being 5'9", which he even points out in the piece. Like, that's something that a lot of these guys, and I think that's kind of, I'm sure Brian Gionta felt that way. I'm sure, you know, other smaller guys in the league have always had that chip on their shoulder. I mean, Dion Lewis, like, remember listening to him at when he signed that deal with the Titans about how nobody thought he could do it. And, you know, because of, you know, his height and all this other stuff, like, that's with those guys. And Marchand is probably seeing, you know, how Sidney Crosby and all these other kind of like Canadian cult heroes are sort of formed, you know, like, this is going to be the guy, this is going to be the number one pick in the draft, and he is going to be the next generation of great players. And that was never put on Brad Marchand. You know, he had to do it. How many of these guys, when you look at the top 20 scorers in the league right now, Dale, how many of them started as fourth liners? Or were they 19 years old, number one pick, boom, you're centering the first line? Like, those guys were already made. Marchand had to do it the hard way.
This is a guy who, if he was not wearing a Bruins uniform, you'd hate him. I don't mean you particular. Anybody.
Sure.
Any hockey fan in this town, if he was wearing a Winnipeg Jets uniform.
Oh, he'd drive you nuts.
Or even worse, if he was wearing a Montreal Canadiens uniform. God. I mean, you would think he was the lowest form of life. But he's wearing your colors.
Yes.
And he has, as you correctly point out, turned himself into one of the best forwards in the National Hockey League.
And I think that, you know, and he points out at the end of this piece that he has matured. You know, he's not going to, if they win the cup, he's not going to be partying for 2.5 weeks straight. I think on the ice, you can kind of make an argument, you know, whether he has or whether he hasn't, because he still has sort of those cheap shots in him. Like, I don't think he does as many slew foots as maybe he did before or some of those things, but it's still there. Maybe it's not as regular, but we saw him this year get popped for a suspension. Another time he got fined again. And I feel like we're going to have those same conversations again next year, but that's just kind of what you get when you sign up for him. And you just have to have your fingers crossed that it doesn't happen in the playoffs or in a very meaningful game.
Read the stuff in the piece. When you do get a chance to read it, read the stuff where he talks about Patrice Bergeron. He said, you know, do something to my brother and I'm going to fight you. But do something to Patrice Bergeron and I'm going to fight you.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I mean, he just thinks Patrice, and he gives credit to Claude. Claude said, you do everything he does. You won't be the best player on the ice because Patrice will be the best player on the ice. But you can be the second best player on the ice.
Mm.
And he loves Patrice Bergeron.
Well, and that's one where, I mean, and you saw them, they played together on Team Canada in the World Cup. They didn't want to separate them. And even with all the additions that the Bruins made, you know, over the last couple of years, those were two guys that you knew were going to be on the same line. Like, you're trying to figure out, all right, who's it going to be? Is it going to be, you know, wasn't Anders Bjork at the start of the year? Was it going to be Pastrnak, which it ended up being? And that's great because it ends up being the best line in hockey. But those two, for sure. Like, you put them in pen and you're like, all right, what guy can keep up with those two? And then you'll go from there. But that's going to be a duo. And, well, the way things are going, a trio that hopefully stays together for a really long time.
I wonder if when Bruins fans read this, because they get frustrated with Marchand. I mean, he's a frustrating guy sometimes. Look, I've gotten frustrated with him. And I've said, you can't do this. You've got to be smarter than this. The team needs you out there. You can't be, you know, getting suspended. But you read this and you kind of get a little better understanding of who he is. I wonder if Bruins fans who read this, who may be on the fence about whether they like what this guy is, what he brings to the table, what he brings as a representative of the team, I wonder if they read this and think differently about him.
Yeah, I think they might. I mean, it's probably something that you didn't know, and maybe you assumed some of the background, and again, because we've seen this guy kind of grow up and kind of sneaky been on the team for a really long time. You know, what is this, like his eighth year, ninth year, whatever it is with the Bruins. So it's been a while since we've seen him, and we've seen him sort of transform from that scrappy fourth liner into a guy that's playing, you know, almost 20 minutes a night and leading the team in scoring.
He also, and just a tidbit for you Bruins fans out there, says that the one of the reasons the 2010-11 team won the Stanley Cup is that they had a bunch of guys who would do anything for the other guys on that team.
And don't you get the sense this team has the
same thing? He said this team. Yeah. Is like that.
I think, I mean, we saw it in one of the last games of the season where David Pastrnak and Tukarask are both, you know, sticking up for guys and are trying to fight, basically. They were like the last two guys in the entire roster that you would expect that from. So this Bruins team has a lot of that. They have more scoring. They have a little bit more skill than 2011, but they have that same kind of thing where they're going to stick up for each other.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Jackson, Rhode Island. Hey, Jack.
Hey, how's it going?
What's good. Going on?
I just wanted to talk about I just read the Marchand Tribune as well, and wanted to talk about how many good things he had to say about Bergeron, and whether you guys think Bergeron will be a Hall of Famer in a couple years.
I think I didn't used to think so. I thought he'd be one of these great defensive forwards, you know, but he has upped his offensive game as his career has gone along. He was named a finalist for the Selke last night for the seventh straight year. If he wins the Selke this year, he will break the NHL record that he currently holds with Bob Gainey. He will hold the record for most Selke trophies won at 5. I'm beginning to think he might be considered for the Hall of Fame down the road. Bruins fans love his game anyway.
Yeah.
And they think he's underappreciated around the National Hockey League. I can tell you he's not.
No,
around the National Hockey League, people rave about his game. But
I don't know.
I didn't think he was a Hall of Fame caliber player because I didn't think he had the offensive skill set.
Where's the Hockey Hall of Fame as far as, like, Basketball Hall of Fame, everybody gets in. Like, literally every single person gets in. Baseball and football, a little bit different. Baseball obviously is dealing with all their own issues right now. Football, we know how the voting is, and it seems like guys get kept out for weird reasons, and then they get voted in. But basketball is like, if you were not, like, Horford will probably be in. Like, we were joking about that last week, but in reality, he probably will be because everybody gets into the Basketball Hall of Fame. How tough is it to get into the Hockey Hall of Fame?
Tougher. You know, it's tougher than that.
Okay.
And generally speaking, and it's the reason I've been on the fence about whether he was going to be qualified or not. Zdeno Chara is in. There's no doubt in my mind. I always thought Bergeron didn't have the offensive skills to quite get there. Just being a great defensive forward, like Ozzie Smith is in the Baseball Hall of Fame because he was a great defensive player, and there's no other reason.
Right.
They don't generally do that for forwards in the NHL.
Yeah.
But I think this guy has such a
blend. He might. It's
such
not
a blend.
Done. You know, he's got more years left. If the Bruins, also if you combine some more team success, that could help him get in. Do they add up the other stuff too? Like, basketball is a catch-all. So basketball, like Olympics matters, college matters, all that. Is hockey the same way, Dale? Like, will they look at, oh, he was on two Olympic teams and
yes.
he was on, so that helps
they
him too.
Will.
He was on the World Cup. Like, all he's got a bunch of gold medals, so that'll help him too. He probably does have a good chance.
617-779-7937. If you're a Bruins fan, are you still on the fence about Brad Marchand? Are there still times when he drives you a little nutty? Are there still times when you wish he'd play differently? Because I think if you read this piece today, you might think differently.
Do you think it's fair to say whoever wins tonight wins the series?
I don't know. This is what I do. As I get up today and get ready for the day, and when you win today in the National Hockey League, everything's okay. Same thing I tell you game one and game seven and game 52. And so it's a big game for us today. It's the one we're playing. It's the biggest one of the year, just like each one. We're going to play hard against them. You got a last change. I'll tell you tomorrow.
Mike Babcock, ever quotable.
Got that last change. Gonna play hard.
Seems to have made all the difference.
It did work in game three, so maybe I shouldn't mock him. He was dead on about those things. It helped him.
Well, we'll see. And Brad Marchand will be a marked man. He's a marked man every time the Bruins play.
Yeah, he should be. What a tough question, though, for a coach. And tough question, I mean terrible question, for the head coach to be like,
no, if we lose, we're done.
Hey, if whoever wins this game, is that going to win the series? Like,
do you think it's fair to say whoever wins tonight wins the series?
I think it's very fair.
This is what I do.
It's the most fair thing you could possibly say. Yes. So don't play the rest of the series. Tonight crowns the winner in game four, where it's 2-1. Come on.
I'll tell you tomorrow.
Exactly.
So it's 2-2. Like, that doesn't mean you're going to win. It just means everybody's won at home. That's all that means.
617-779-7937. Matt's in Wilmington. Hey, Matt.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you?
What's up, Matt?
Pretty good. Hey, you're talking about Bergeron, and I think we're pretty lucky if you think about what we're watching with these players. We're going to have possibly three guys, definitely two in my opinion, that are going to have their numbers retired. And we haven't seen that since Bork and Neely in one stretch of playing together for a long time as the identity of the Bruins. You've got Chara, who's 33, is going to end up in the Raptors. Bergeron's 37 up there, and if Brad Marchand continues the way he's going and is in town for another, you know, 4, 5, 6 years and finishes his career here or comes close, his 63 will be up there. And I think Bergeron would be even more of a prolific goal scorer if not for Randy Jones back in 2007.
Yeah, and unfortunately, and he's referring to Randy Jones and the hit that Bergeron took that gave him the concussion. Look, there's no doubt that he. I also think, quite honestly, he could have been a more prolific goal scorer, but he just didn't really shoot all that much.
No, I know.
He was too busy trying to set up other guys.
It was his second, you know, full season in the league. He had 31 goals, you know, as a 20-year-old. So you're looking at him thinking, oh, this guy's going to be more of a goal scorer than he is.
I agree with his first point. Two of the numbers absolutely, positively will be retired.
Yeah.
Chara and Bergeron's numbers will be. And as I said, one is in the Hall of Fame, in my opinion. One is inching closer year by year. Marchand, I don't know. I'm not sure about him.
Now, Marchand, that's a tough one. Now, they would probably, as a team, have to win the Cup one more time. I think that sort of puts you on a different level, too. Like, if he's a two-time Cup winner, and let's say he's the best player throughout that series, or you know, he puts together another couple of years where he's one of the elite forwards in the league, and now you look back and say, wow, this guy spent 12, 13 years on the team, and he was, you know, an all-star type player, then maybe he would. Yeah, the other two guys, I think, are already there, as far as their numbers are concerned. They're up there.
But if Marchand keeps putting up the kinds of numbers that he is, you know, if he does this, as he says in the piece, he's 29 years old. You know, if he does this for another 5 years.
Yeah, I think it would be hard to argue with that.
Maybe he will. 617-779-7937. Chris in Tewksbury. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Dale. How are you?
What's going on?
Not much. I just wanted to touch on Brad Marchand. I do get frustrated with him from time to time, but his puck protection is amazing. I've seen him just overcome being draped over constantly, like in the corners, being a small guy. I mean, that's a tough area to play. And he comes out with the puck, and he does remarkable things.
Yeah, he has made himself into a really plus skater. He's strong on his, much stronger on his skates than people think he's going to be, and he's much more elusive, I think, than people ever give him credit for. I don't know that that I can remember seeing a Bruin in recent vintage who's done so many things to improve himself as a player.
Oh yeah, yep.
I mean, he is so far removed from that guy who was on the cup winning team in 2010, 2011. It's like he's a different guy.
Yeah, it's really
it is. His release is. It has improved. I mean, even since that 2011, which he was a big part of. But his release, his shot, I mean, everything. It's just...
Yeah, I do think it, when he gets himself in trouble, and he does from time to time, he lapses into this thing where, all right, I'm going to beat these four guys on the ice, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to beat them again.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to take it down that way. And I'm gonna, you know, when he uses his line mates... Like we saw in games 1 and 2 when he and Bergeron and Pasternak picked up 20 points in two games and looked
insane.
Like they were unstoppable.
Right.
Well, then he's one of the elite players in the NHL. When he gets a little more individual, when he's thinking, I got to do something. I got to score a goal for this team. And then he starts trying to wind in and out of everybody. Well, then his efficiency goes way down.
Yeah, but I think that's one of the things is with him being on the same line as Bergeron, like that – kind of keeps him in check in a certain way. Like just having that kind of influence with him at all times that has allowed him to become this great player. And not to say, and we've seen games without, you know, Bergeron and Marchand has still been really effective, but just that combination has really helped vault him into being one of the best players in the league.
617-779-7937. Ryan is in Rhode Island. Hey, Ryan.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What's going on?
Good. I just wanted to gauge what you guys thought about how well of a player Tuukka Rask is and really what his future or his legacy will go down as. Do you guys see him as a potential Hall of Fame type goalie, like someone like John Quick, or do you see him as sort of, you know, a good player but not quite elite?
I don't see him as a Hall of Fame goalie right now. Now, to Rich's point earlier, you win a cup, the perception of you changes.
Oh, yeah, big time.
If he does that. He's got right now the fourth best save percentage in NHL playoff history.
So that's pretty good.
And
he's got that
is.
Going for him.
But to your point, you know, if you haven't won a cup and Quick's won a couple,
yeah.
If you haven't won a cup, it's hard to be considered, you know, in my opinion, Hall of Fame worthy. And even though it's a team game,
yeah.
If you're a goalie, you have to have a cup on your resume.
I think you have to have a cup as a goalie. He does have a Vezina, and so that sort of gets you onto a separate list right away. You sort of like, okay, all right, what else does this guy have? His overall numbers, like his save percentage and goals against for his NHL career, are also both very, very good. But
better than he gets credit for around.
Yes, yeah, I would agree with that. But I think he has to definitely win the cup. Like if you're talking about like the best all-time goaltenders, like the true Hall of Fame goaltenders, I would say almost all of them have at least one cup.
He certainly was not the reason they lost Game 3 on Monday. He was good.
Right.
He wasn't very good.
No.
He gave up a bad goal, in my opinion. The second Patrick Marleau goal was not a good goal.
No.
But I don't know how much blame I gave him for the first three goals. And he didn't. The bad goal that he gave up wasn't the game-winning goal.
Right.
Insurance goal.
I think, Frederik Andersen, his game 3 was probably the best goalie performance that we've seen.
And yet he gave up two soft goals.
He gave up two bad goals, but he had these crazy other goals, and he faced a ton of shots. So that was probably the most impressive. Tuukka was definitely steady in the first two, although they were scoring so many goals, it almost didn't really matter. So he's not really going to get credit for that, unfortunately for him. But he's got the 2-1 lead, and you know maybe he has one of those crazy games tonight where even if the offense isn't rolling, he's able to keep him in the game.
It is amazing to me how much hatred the name Tuukka Rask gins up in some Bruins fans.
It's kind of polarizing, isn't it?
I mean, there are people who think he's a good goalie, very good goalie.
Yeah.
You know, does a great job. And then there are other people who just hate him.
He strikes me as, if you're just like grading out a goalie, like, I feel like you have a B+ goalie. Like, that's what I feel like with him. Like, I think it's better than most, but maybe it's not the best. And so, but I think you can still, especially with the makeup of this team, I think you can win with him. And that's really the most important thing. Like, can you win the whole thing with Tukarask as your goalie? I personally think yes.
But until he wins one.
He's going to get the criticism.
He lost game 6 of the Stanley Cup final, and, right. You know, that was his fault in some people's minds. But, I mean, he's the guy. You know what he is? He's the David Price of the Bruins.
Oh, my God. I don't know if he's that. You think he's...
He's the one guy who, even though he plays for the local team,
yeah.
He frustrates fans so much, the way Price frustrates Red Sox fans.
That's true. Al Horford, he's sort of in that mix where, you know, you ask one person about him, and you get this glowing review, and then you ask somebody else, and you're like, oh, he sucks? You're like, is that true? And then I think the other consistent thing there is all three are very highly paid, right? Like, Tukarask signed that contract. He's not the highest paid goalie, but he's in that top
group. Making a lot of money.
He's right up there. So that definitely factors in, too.
Who would it be for the Patriots? Gostkowski? Where even though he's a good kicker, very good kicker, so many Patriots fans say, he missed another extra point.
Yeah, maybe. And he's also the highest paid kicker, isn't he? So, yeah, maybe it is Gostkowski.
Tukarask does get people's dander up for some reason.
Yeah,
Bruins
true.
Play game 4 tonight in Toronto. They'll take on the Maple Leafs, and they lead this series 2-1.
Starting with the puck is definitely something that we've talked about a little bit better. You know, everyone on the ice trying to fight to get that puck back. And that being said, you know, I think defensively there's a few things we've talked about to adjust and you know, try to deny that speed. That's mostly for everyone, basically, on the transition. You know, it's not just our line. I think everyone we're trying to work on denying their speed as much as possible.
That's Patrice Bergeron talking about game 4 tonight, which, as we know, is the only game that the coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs cares about.
It's the only game. This is the game. The winner of this game wins the series. Is it fair to say, Mike Babcock?
Probably not.
No. No, it just means it would be tied. I mean, if the Bruins win, I still think the Bruins are going to win the series, even after what happened in game 3. I think they're definitely the better team. But, I mean, just because if it goes to 2-2 doesn't mean the series is over. Like, now it's the best of 3.
No, and you've got home ice advantage.
Right.
617-779-7937. Danny's in Rhode Island. Hey, Danny.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
Not much. I heard you guys talking about Tuca earlier, and I kind of want to put my 2 cents on this.
All right.
Just to put myself in one of the camps, I'm pro Tuca. I think he's been great. The years, it's hard for me to say that he's done bad because, you know, he came up after Thomas, and they're two different, totally different types of goalies. Thomas is very reactionary and doesn't worry too much about anything else going on. He's just playing the play by play. But Tuca, he's reading percentages. He's always angling himself in the right spot. And when you have a bad defensive front in front of you for that kind of goalie, you're not going to do well. And I think those years after the Cup, when Seidenberg and Boychuk left, who do they have besides Char, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you that there was a time when the Bruins' defense was not very good. And Tuca may have paid the price for that. But I think there are also times when people, they want to look at Tuca and they say, yeah, well, the Bruins had a 3-0 lead over the Flyers and they lost.
Yeah, I think they point more to the playoffs. I think in the regular season, you can make that argument either way. You could say there were a couple of years where they lost some of the guys that he mentioned and they weren't as good. But what about there was like a 3 or 4 year stretch where they did have Chara as the best defenseman in the league. They did have Seidenberg, and they were in Claude's system, which we all hear about. Hey, Claude's system. But the reality was those were lower scoring games. There's a little bit more focus on defense, and the goalies, even if they were very good, like Tuca and Tim Thomas, their numbers may have been a little inflated.
The year that the Bruins had a 3-0 series lead against the Flyers and lost in game 7.
Yeah, that was like forever ago.
He was 22 years old.
Right.
It was 8 years ago.
Right.
It was the 2009-2010 season. It was 8 years ago.
Yeah, that was a long time ago, and that was not all on him. Like, yeah, you don't want to be the goalie in a series that blows a 3-0 lead, but what about the guys that were out there on the ice? Like, there was definitely plenty of issues going on there.
And I'm looking at the year that the Bruins lost to the Blackhawks in the Stanley Cup final in Game 6. For the entire playoffs, he played 22 games, all 22 games. He had a 1.88 goals against average and a 940 save percentage.
Yeah, I mean, that's. I also think you can look at it series by series and say, do the Bruins have the best goalie in this series? I think they definitely do. Like, Frederik Andersen, he's fine. I mean, his regular season was as good. Now, I know his defensemen aren't as good as what the Bruins have, but if you had to pick a goalie for this series, I think you'd take Tuukka. And through the first three games, first two games, you definitely would have. Game three, Andersen really bounced back, but as Dale said, the goals that he did allow, you're saying,
especially the McQuaid goal.
Kind of a head scratcher there. You're going to let that one in, and then you're going to be making crazy, you know, stick saves and everything else.
The year that the Bruins won the Cup, Tim Thomas had the exact same save percentage as Tuukka had. His goals against average was worse. He was 1.98. But the final two rounds of the playoffs, he was otherworldly.
Yeah, he was off the charts there. And so
Tuukka, the year they lost the Cup, Tuukka's stats were better than Tim Thomas's. But Tim Thomas did it. He finished it.
Correct.
Tuukka Rask didn't finish it.
And then that's why the playoffs matter so much more. Like that's like having 10 great seasons if you have one really good postseason run. And to the last caller's point, that's what we're comparing him to. And as it goes further away, like with anything, Dale, he gets a little bit better. Like next year when we talk about it, Thomas was even better than that. Like, oh, he's even better. Like nobody had ever played like that in their lives. Like this is the greatest goaltending performance of all time. So until Tuukka Rask wins a cup, you're not going to be able to surpass Thomas in the eyes of most fans.
He was unbelievable. And you know, well, I was going to say he's one of those guys who will never have to buy a beer or a meal in this town.
No, that changes.
But that changed a lot for him.
For Thomas,
the whole political thing changed a lot.
I was going to say, Tim Thomas and Curt Schilling were two examples of guys that would just be cult heroes around here. But then they get into some of their political stances, and then that sours people pretty quickly.
Which is crazy, because Thomas didn't really go the extreme that Schilling did. But
no, he hasn't.
No, nowhere near.
And
he did make some people mad.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some folks, because the Bruins basically, Cam Neely and others within the organization basically said, come on, you don't have to speak, you don't have to shake his hand, just be there. Just, you know, be there with the team, and he didn't want to go.
And I will say the way that he was characterized by several hockey writers in this town, oh, he's down in his bunker, oh, he's the Unabomber, didn't really do him any justice.
That
either.
Did not
Joe,
help.
Joe Haggerty, for one.
That did not help his cause. Yeah, because he was definitely labeled as just a complete wacko at that point.
Well, and then he responded sort of on Facebook.
Yeah, that's right. He used to do Facebook posts.
But he refused to talk about it.
Right.
And then he left teammates in a rather uncomfortable position of having to try to justify why Tim Thomas did what he did. And I don't think they were very comfortable with having to answer questions about Tim because he wouldn't talk about it.
But he was always sort of an odd duck.
He was a very odd duck.
I mean, most goalies are, let's be honest.
Yeah.
You got to be a little different to be a goaltender, I feel like.
He was more different than many.
That's what I'm saying. So then you take that, you already take that subset of people, and then you kind of add a little bit, you intensify it a little bit, and that's what you got with Tim Thomas.
Arthur's on the cell phone. Hey, Arthur.
Yeah, hey, guys. How's it going?
What's going
on? By the way, I just wanted to mention, too, Theo didn't go to the White House and didn't catch nearly the baloney that Tim Thomas did, but
that's fair.
That's true.
That's fair.
You're right.
All right, Dale, you're not going to be happy with me, but I'm an anti-Tuukka guy. And I'll tell you, to me, it seems to me there were games when they were going to Montreal and they're your archenemy, and he did not play in those games. It always seems to me the team is trying to protect him. He comes across as kind of fragile at times. So that I resent that. And the fact you want to say that he didn't have players in front of him, well, that's why you're making the big money. That's why you get paid the big money, because maybe the defense isn't as good. There's got to be some justification for being one of the highest paid goalies. So there's always that excuse. And then there's the games, as you know, for Finland and for the Bruins, there he just doesn't seem to play with upset stomachs and so forth. I know I wouldn't want to do it either, I suppose, but there are just so a litany of things that just make you not feel good about Tuukka. And he complains about playing too many games in a row.
He didn't complain.
Yeah.
People complained on his behalf, but he didn't say anything.
But doesn't it always seem like they're trying to protect him? Why are they always trying to protect Tuukka? Why didn't he play those games in Montreal against your arch rival? I know they didn't do well, but...
Well, that's probably why.
Yeah, he was not great there.
Yeah, but you got to stand up and breath. If you won't play Montreal in Montreal because you don't do well, How could you possibly be a Hall of Fame goalie?
Well, I don't think either of us say he's a Hall of Fame goalie. But I don't think he's going there. In fact, no, not right now. He's got to win a cup first, and he's got to have some more. He's got to consistently have some more good seasons. I do agree with your point about, you know, you can't just say, oh, the defensemen in front of him aren't great, so just write it off. You're right. If you are going to be one of the highest paid goaltenders, there's a reason for it. You need to make up for that. Like, it's not just a plug and play. Like, when you could argue when Claude's team was clicking at the best and you had, you know, the Norris winner, you had the Selke winner, you had all these guys, you could probably take an average goalie and make him look pretty good. And then what happens is if you have a really good goalie, then now all of a sudden you're even better than that, and maybe you get a season like you had with Tim Thomas. But for Tuukka, yeah, that's definitely a part of his story. I mean, they started calling him Fluka Rask because he gets sick and there's a must-win game late in the year. You're falling out of playoff contention and you can't go. Yeah, that's worthy of criticism.
Will
sure.
the narrative change in this town if he wins a cup?
Yes.
Will everything be different?
Yeah. Don't you think?
Yeah, I do. Yes. But I think there are a lot of folks out there who are saying right now, no. Well, he'll always be soft.
I mean, if he plays in every game, which all great goaltenders do in the postseason, and they win the whole thing, that's the greatest trump card of all time. Like, they should have beat Philly. Well, guess what? They won the cup in 18, or they won the cup whatever year it is. Like, that's the thing that should change everybody's mind. We've said the same thing with David Price. David Price's first playoff start with the Red Sox was atrocious. Last year, he had to pitch out of the bullpen. If they win the World Series, it looks a whole lot better. Like John Lackey, you know, if you win at the highest level, then that's it. That's all you need. That's all they're asking you.
Chris on the Cape. Hey, Chris.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's up?
I find it a little hypocritical that you guys are calling Tim Thomas wacky for skipping the White House, but
people are being applauded
for skipping the White House today in every professional sport.
You're not listening, Chris. What I said was people in this town were upset with him when he didn't go with his team.
Yeah, but then Rich goes, he was kind of wacky.
He was kind of what?
Is he wacky because
I said he was an odd duck. You don't think he's an odd duck? You know, listen to one interview of his. So you don't think he's an odd duck?
He might be an odd duck.
There you go.
So, you know, the way you were saying was, you know, he's odd because he skipped the White House.
That's not why he said he was odd.
Chris. That's a terrible job listening on your part. That's just all that is. I never equated the two.
That was terrible. Yeah.
You were terrible. You did a terrible job, and then you decided to call in and bring up a terrible point.
How is it terrible?
Because it's not right. I didn't say because he skipped the White House, he's an odd duck. Just listen better. It's fine, Chris. We all have different issues.
Trump's in office.
What?
Yeah.
Did we mention Trump? That's on you. That's on you. You obviously want to talk about Trump. Maybe call another show. That's not what we're doing here. It has nothing to do with Trump.
I'm not trying to.
You literally brought him up. I know you're not trying to, but you're doing a bad job of that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Rich.
All right, Chris. All right, hang in there, Chris. Terrible call.
All right, Rich. You don't need my defense. You never once said he's an odd duck because he didn't go to the White House.
I was thinking of some of the interviews that he did.
Oh, man.
And you're like, oh,
look,
boy.
and your overall point was goaltenders in general are a little different anyway.
I would say screw loose
Tuukka's
on
about
most of them.
The most normal of most goaltenders. And even he's a little.
And I was going to say, early in his career, when he's flipping out and throwing sticks on
the ice and everything else.
And like, that's great. Like, I think most goaltenders kind of have to have that. I'm not even saying that as a negative, but by no way did I equate the two and say that it was because he missed the White House he was an odd duck. He was odd way before that, trust me.
He was a little different.
Yes, and that's fine. He was also great. They don't win the cup without him that year. I'm happy
absolutely
that he was on the team.
Absolutely do not win the cup without him.
Definitely not.
And I will tell you that there were people in the organization who were upset with him that he wouldn't just go. Don't talk, don't say anything, don't shake his hand, don't take pictures.
Yeah.
Just stand in the back because we want this. The owner of the team called it one of the proudest moments of his life when he could take his hockey team to the White House because they won a Stanley Cup. And yet much of the story of that White House visit was the fact that Tim Thomas didn't go.
Right. No, I understand that it has become the norm. That's not really what we were talking about, though. That was just sort of a side story with Tim Thomas. We weren't comparing it to Theo Epstein or the Golden State Warriors or, you know, the Patriots, who recently had a bunch of guys not go, 2 years ago? So, like, that's not
including
really what we're talking
about. Including the quarterback.
Right, the quarterback was not there.
Well, the Apple Watch had just come out. And,
yeah.
You know, you got to jump on that opportunity.
You had to get yourself an Apple Watch. And he was not mentioned in the president's speech because of that. So maybe some hurt feelings on that end. We were on the air during that whole thing.
Oh, remember? I remember. Yeah. At no point were we equating anything about the Trump White House with... we weren't talking about that at all.
No. I always say in that scenario, do what you want. I would go. I don't care who's in the office. I don't care if it's a guy I voted for or somebody I didn't vote for. I personally would go if my team won and was invited. But I'm not going to freak out if somebody doesn't.
By the way, we've got Red Sox tickets that we're going to give away at 5:30 today. Help me out, Jason. What game are we talking about?
Tampa Bay Rays.
Good Rays team. What? Maybe they'll wear their Devil Rays uniforms. That kind of gives it a little more pizzazz. No, you don't like that?
It's free tickets. I mean, really?
Okay. You know what?
It's free tickets. It's Fenway Park. It's the best stadium in baseball. It's the beautiful lyrical
little band.
It's like the guy that won them a couple weeks ago is like, well, are they good seats? I wanted to hang up on them.
Yeah,
like,
you know what? We're going to find it. You're not caller 10. Turns out you're not caller 10. That's ridiculous. And tomorrow, I think we have more tickets to give away.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
We're going to give away Bruins tickets. For Game 5 Saturday night at the Garden.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.